WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. It's Friday morning on the 50,000-watt front porch. Glad you're with us here at 6 for our first check of Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, the president needs you. More in 1 minute.
The good news and the bad news on the president's primetime address, the big promises, the glaring omission. Let's talk next on Good Morning Orlando.
6:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. President Biden wants all adult Americans to be eligible for coronavirus vaccinations by May 1st.
Let me be clear. That doesn't mean everyone's going to have that shot immediately, but it means you'll be able to get in line beginning May 1. Every adult will be eligible to get their shot.
Speaking to the nation from the White House, Biden stressed that his administration's vaccination plan is way ahead of schedule, the president insisting he needs Americans to do their part.
That's not hyperbole. I need you. I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity. And to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well.
Biden said he's hopeful that Americans can safely gather in small groups to celebrate the July 4th holiday. This news is brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Officials at Advent Health Central Florida are looking back at the pandemic as it hits the one-year mark. CEO Randy Hafner warns that we're not out of the woods yet.
This is an evolving and mutating situation. And so even though you may have gotten vaccinated, we still don't know exactly how this plays out. So we need to do those things that have proven to make an impact.
That means continuing to wash your hands, wear a mask, and practice social distancing. A Titusville man is facing charges for the Capitol Hill riot. 41-year-old Kenneth Harrelson was arrested this week for his alleged role in the violence that broke out on January 6th in Washington, D.C. He was in federal court yesterday to face charges that include conspiracy to defraud the United States and damage of government property. If convicted, Harrison could get 30 years in prison. Florida drivers continue to pay more at the pump. AAA's Mark Jenkins telling Good Morning Orlando the supply of fuel is not keeping up with springtime demand.
A lot of people are here in Florida for Major League Baseball spring training. Snowbirds are still in town. And then, of course, you have spring break, which typically attracts people to the beaches and the surrounding area.
The current statewide average for a gallon of gas is $2.85. That's up 15 cents since last week. Sergio Garcia fired a 7-under-65 and is the first-round leader at the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass at Ponte Vedra Beach. Brian Harman is two strokes back. And a member of the reigning Super Bowl champs is facing a felony charge in California.
Jaden Mickens was arrested last week, according to new details out of Los Angeles. The return specialist for the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers pulled over on March 5th after cops say his window tint was too dark. During the stop, officers found a gun inside the car, not on his person, and arrested Mickens, booking him on a felony concealed weapons charge. The Buccaneers confirmed they were aware of the issue in a statement, noting that Mickens actually reached out to team officials after the situation to explain what had happened. Mickens joined the Bucs back in 2019. The NFL is now investigating this incident. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
WFLA News Time, 6:04. You're going to get your $1,400 stimulus check sooner than you think. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Thank God it's Good Morning Orlando. Great to have you with us, sir. You're on the 50,000-watt front porch. It's Friday morning, and we are ready for a fabulous spring-like Central Florida weekend. Most of the rest of the country would kill to have. I'm telling you what, it's going to be absolutely great. You know, I've got friends out in the Denver, Colorado area. Do you know they're going to get 2 or 3 feet of snow?
Wow.
I knew that.
All over that area on almost a mid-March weekend. You realize what the real world is like outside of Florida. You know, at this time of year, anything can happen.
On the other hand, we're not completely alone. I was talking to my son, Kyle, who lives up in Northern Virginia, just outside D.C., and he was telling me, oh, it's 80 degrees here. It's beautiful outside. I'm going to take the kids out. And I said, well, it's exactly the same here. It's 80 and beautiful.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, you never know what's going to happen in the month of March, you know. And here in Florida, when it's good, it's as good as it gets. The pollen aside, I finally went to the pharmacist and got some stuff to turn off the faucet here.
All right.
Been driving me crazy. Hopefully I can get through the through the show intact here without coughing and hacking my way until 9 o'clock.
You sound better this morning, I have to say.
You sound a little corked.
Well, a little corked? What does that mean?
plugged up.
I haven't had anything that involves a cork, I can promise you that. Hey, Alan, I'm glad you mentioned when stimulus checks are coming, because at 7 o'clock, you and I are going to have an opportunity to interview Joel Garris, CEO of Nelson Financial Planning, one of our great advertisers on the program here. And, of course, he has his own show, Dollars and Cents, on Sunday mornings. But he pointed out to us, and actually he gave Melissa the first word on this, that there are lots of tax ramifications for what's now in the American Rescue Plan Act, the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill that the president has signed into law. And believe me, you may have to amend your taxes because of it.
Two words.
So we are going to get into this at 7 o'clock, right, Melissa? We've got him booked for 7.
7, yeah. Two words just to give you a little update on that. Hot mess when it comes to your taxes. So, you'll want to tune in for that for sure.
Because I don't think a lot of folks are aware of the tax ramifications of what has just been passed during tax season. You may already have your returns in. Guess what? You may be doing them all over again, unless you want to get fleeced by Uncle Sam. And, of course, we all know what that's like. But in the meantime, speaking of the president's first primetime address last night, we'll get into it in a moment. And I've got some things to say to the president's credit, but also there was something that was missing from that speech that is grinding my gears big time this morning. I'll share it here in just a moment.
First, an update of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlines out of Volusia County. A Daytona Beach police officer accused of attempted murder now out of a job. Officer Shane Jackson fired yesterday after his arrest this week. He was off duty Wednesday night when he allegedly stabbed a 24-year-old man in a fight outside a bar in New Smyrna Beach. The apparent victim is in critical but stable condition. Updates at least every 10 minutes of the top stories right here on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
So did you catch the Biden primetime speech? Still no full-blown news conference with reporters more than 50 days into his presidency, but finally we have a primetime address to the country. Were you riveted to the set? If you were and you were waiting for him to completely break down and put us back on 25th Amendment watch, didn't happen. He can still function on a teleprompter. I mean, he's not lights out gangbusters, that's for sure. He actually does his best work, this president, when he's trying to talk in a personal way and an empathetic way. He manages to do that and do it, I think, pretty effectively. He made some bold promises, and for folks who've just about had it with this pandemic, tying up their life for a solid year and threatening their lives and all the lives lost, of course, well chronicled. And he quoted chapter and verse on that. The promises are important, and we will watch them and see whether or not they can be kept. But here they are in montage fashion from the 20-minute Biden speech.
Tonight, I'm announcing that I will direct all states, tribes, and territories to make all adults, people 18 and over, eligible to be vaccinated no later than May 1. Secondly, at the time when every adult is eligible in May, we will launch with our partners new tools to make it easier for you to find the vaccine and where to get the shot. We can accelerate massive nationwide effort to reopen our schools safely. Fourth, in the coming weeks, we will issue further guidance on what you can and cannot do once fully vaccinated.
One thing that really bothered me about this speech, and if you watched and if you support President Trump to any degree, it should have bothered you. And if you're just simply into fairness and credits where credit's due, even if you don't like Trump and didn't vote for him and wouldn't vote for him if he ran 100 times, he should have gotten a lot of credit last night. He got none. There would be no vaccine now, not even close, without Trump driving Operation Warp Speed to develop the vaccine. I mean, cajoling and grabbing the pharmacy executives, you know, by the scruff of the neck and by the lapels and saying, faster, faster, you got to get this done. You got to work with so-and-so. You've got to be brought in and you got to work with what? We've never worked with these people before. They're our competitors. No, you need to do it. You're going to do it. And he drove it. And that's why we have the vaccines. Not one word of credit to Trump last night. Biden took it all.
I'm using every power I have as president of the United States to put us on a war footing to get the job done. Sounds like hyperbole, but I mean it, a war footing. And thank God we're making some real progress now. Now, because all the work we've done, we'll have enough vaccine supply for all adults in America by the end of May. That's months ahead of schedule.
Now, I'm not saying that Biden's not doing a good job now, but there would be no job for him to do without Trump when it comes to making sure we get vaccines into arms. And that credit should have been given last night, and it really torqued me off. It did. I don't know if it bothered anybody else. If it did, let me know. 407-916-5400, text line 23680. There's one more thing, and here it is. Yesterday, in conjunction with the signing of the COVID relief bill into law and with the president's primetime address about that last night, a public service announcement came out featuring all of the living presidents and first ladies with one glowing exception. The Trumps were not part of it. I want you to listen to this. It is 60 seconds. It's a television spot. So let me paint the word picture so you can identify the voices when you hear them. You're going to hear from Bush. You're going to hear from Obama and Clinton. Then you'll hear from them again. And later on, you're going to hear from Jimmy Carter. You will not hear the voice of Donald J. Trump.
Right now, the COVID-19 vaccines are available to millions of Americans, and soon they will be available to everyone.
This vaccine means hope. It will protect you and those you love from this dangerous and deadly disease.
I want to go back to work, and I want to be able to move around.
To visit with Michelle's mom, to hug her and see her on her birthday.
You know what I'm really looking forward to is going to opening day in Texas Ranger Stadium with a full stadium.
We've lost enough people and we've suffered enough damage.
In order to get rid of this pandemic, it's important for our fellow citizens to get vaccinated.
I'm getting vaccinated because we want this pandemic to end as soon as possible.
So we urge you to get vaccinated when it's available to you.
So roll up your sleeve and do your part.
This is our shot.
Now it's up to you.
No Trump. No indication he and Melania were even asked to be a part of that public service announcement. Anybody have a problem with that? And for no credit being given to Trump for the vaccines that Biden was touting last night in prime time nationwide? 407-916-5400, text line 23680. I know it's early, but if you're like me, you might well have something to say on the subject. and I'd like to hear it. 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Bother anybody else that Biden had nothing to say for President Trump's role in these vaccines now being out among us, saving lives and putting the pandemic behind us far sooner than it would otherwise? That he had, that Trump had everything to do with that, and there was not even a whisper of him last night. And that public service announcement, all the other living presidents, no Trump on the vaccines. 407-916-5400, text line 23680. It's just wrong. Okay, we'll get to all of this in an update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. All right, folks, let's take a look at headlines right now, shall we? Yes, we shall. And here comes one right now. One of President Trump's former Pentagon chiefs says that Trump is to blame for the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Former acting defense secretary Christopher Miller says it's pretty definitive that Trump's supporters would not have stormed the Capitol if not for his rally speech that day. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
All right, on the president's speech last night, bold promises for sure. He held together, didn't have brain fades, a little slurry on the speech, I thought, but that's Joe Biden at age 78, more so than ever. The glaring omission of any credit to Trump and the PSA with all the living presidents on go out and get the vaccine and get back to your life. It's what we need to do. The Trumps are not there. No indication they were even asked. Kevin, you're in Palm Bay thinking it over. What's on your mind?
Okay, well, the reason why they didn't ask the Trumps to speak,
I don't know that they didn't, but they were not there.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm trying to tell you why. Because you haven't figured it out yet.
Don't get porky with me. Talk to me.
He's not.
Contribute to the show, Kevin. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
He's not. Oh, you keep interrupting, though. I'm trying to tell you, he's not part of
the Kevin, I'm giving you 5 seconds or I'm pulling the plug. Make some sense. Talk.
I'm trying to tell you. Did you hear me? He's not part of the globalist good old boy club. He's not part of the Clinton Bush. And he's not part of the Clintons, Bushes, and Obama club, okay? He's not part of that. He opposes them. He's America first. They're not.
He should be part of any PSA for vaccines, because without him, no vaccine in the spring of 2021, Kevin. You and I are actually on the same side on that, I think. I don't know why you're so damn angry this morning. Let's go to Dan and Apopka. Good morning.
Good morning, Bud. Hey, I think you may be a little jaded looking for peace, love, and joy, and we're not going to get it. I mean, Trump is he's not us. He's not them. And they're the ruling class. They know better than we do. And you cannot even acknowledge that an unwashed, unfiltered man could even make any kind of contribution to society. It's just not going to happen, Bud. And I'm sorry, I hate to tell you this, but you got to tamp down your expectations on this. It's just not going to happen.
So what is it? I'm looking for peace, joy, and love, and I'm just not going to find them, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, kumbaya, damn it. It's just not going to work. You know, it's like they, you know, the mantra has been for years that, you know, love is going to beat hate. Well, right. This election, hate won, and it's going to continue because it's just not their playbook. They're upset.
It's good talking with you.
They hate the man so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, bud. Thank you.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You see, that he's getting on my case a little bit here.
Yeah.
But he's not ticking me off doing it.
I'm glad
to
see
that. What's Kevin's problem this morning, Alan? Wrong side of the bed or what?
Yeah, well, he was, you know, he was on edge. And as many of us are these days.
He was on something.
But, you know, I think, you know, when you talk about Biden not crediting Trump last night in the speech concerning the vaccines, this is nothing new. When President Trump took office and touted the economy, did he ever credit Barack Obama and his administration for
the economy? Absolutely agree with you. And he's pugnacious as heck. You know he is. But Biden touts himself as being about unity. You want to unify the country and try to get some of the Trump folks on board, you know, to kind of get a consensus going. Maybe you throw Trump a bone on the speech last night. If nothing else, it makes political sense to me.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying this is business as usual.
Par for the course.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. News coming up, and an absolutely horrendous story here locally. Alan, I know you'll be reporting on.
Yeah, we're going to lead with this. An Orange County crash leaving five people dead. And the Magic visit Miami. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes. It's 6:30 on Good Morning Orlando.
Friday morning here on Good Morning Orlando, and news now with my co-host Alan Spector, and we've got a heartbreaker off the top at 6:30.
Bud, five people, including three children under the age of 10, are dead, and two others are hurt after a crash in Orange County. It happened last night near Clarcona Ocoee Road and Gaymar Drive when a Hyundai turned left into the path of another car.
Inside the Hyundai, we had three children pronounced deceased on scene, an adult and a teenager. Both drivers survived. Both drivers are at the hospital. We have troopers over there talking to them now.
Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Kim Montez says the Hyundai had a total of six passengers, and several of them were ejected in the crash. One person is dead in an accident involving a Sunrail train in Kissimmee. Police say a 911 caller reported that a car driving west on East Vine Street was hit by the train around 6:15 last night. No other details were immediately released. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Alcohol and speed are suspected in the crash that killed a Tampa police officer. Police Chief Brian Dugan says the wrong-way driver who collided with Officer Jesse Madsen this week on I-275 was going over 100 miles an hour. He says it also looks like the 25-year-old was drunk, but a full toxicology report on the driver, who also died, has yet to be released. Orange County's mayor is not pleased with the executive order by Governor Ron DeSantis waiving all fines issued to businesses or individuals for violating local COVID-19 safety restrictions.
I believe Governor DeSantis loves to create confusion. There is nothing unprecedented about local governments trying to provide for and protect its resonance during a pandemic.
Mayor Jerry Demings claims he's been decisive and taken action when the governor was slow to act. He is asking the county attorney to explore legal options. The beginning of daylight saving time means it's time to set your clocks ahead 1 hour this weekend. The new time takes effect 2 o'clock Eastern Time Sunday morning. Jimmy Butler scored 27 points and doled out 11 assists in the Heat's 111-103 win over the Magic in Miami last night. Nikola Vucevic netted 24 points and seized 17 rebounds for Orlando, which has lost 6 in a row. Coach Steve Clifford says turnovers continue to plague the Magic.
We played hard, played a lot better in the second half than we did the first half. They're obviously very good. We had a chance to win the game. You can't turn the ball over, especially against a good team on the road. That's it.
The Magic play at San Antonio tonight. WFLA News Time is 6:36. You don't have to miss anything on Good Morning Orlando. Get caught up with our podcasts on the iHeartRadio app.
So we spring forward. We move our clocks forward. Daylight saving time kicks in Sunday morning. It'll be with us until early November. Would you like daylight saving time to be with us all year round on a permanent basis? A lot of folks would. I would not. We'll have the debate. Where do you stand on year-round daylight saving time? I think it's a bad idea, and I think I've got an ironclad case that I'll make here in a moment as to why. After we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic on a Friday morning on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Right now, a check of headlines here on a Friday morning. And what do we have for you? Let's talk about the time change right now, because that's the topic at this half hour. The beginning of daylight saving time means it's time to set your clocks ahead 1 hour this weekend. The new time takes effect at 2 a.m. Sunday morning. set them all ahead 1 hour before you go to bed tomorrow night, or you just might be late to work on Monday morning, and we can't have that. Updates at least every 10 minutes of the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
Continues to be a movement for year-round daylight saving time, which I think is a bad idea, and I'll reaffirm why here in just a moment. We'll see what you think. Where do you stand on going to year-round daylight saving time? You like it or not, and why do you feel as you do? 407-916-5400. We'd love to talk with you. The text line is 23680. Add your first name and town if you'd like. First name and town if you'd like. Standard message and data rates apply. Actually, in 2018, you remember, Melissa, state of Florida actually passed a law, and it was signed on by then-Governor Rick Scott, who's now one of our two senators here, along with Marco Rubio, in 2018. But it can't take effect until it's green-lighted by the federal government, and it has not been. So Rubio has once again reintroduced his Sunshine Protection Act, and Scott is supporting it. They want year-round daylight saving time. They say it's better for health, physical health, mental health. They say the time change is bad for the heart. You get workplace injuries. You get car crashes, fertility issues, and depression in the population. Are you in for year-round daylight saving time, Fox?
No, I'm not. I'm one of those people that wants it to stay the other way, though. I don't like it this way. I don't like the spring. I like the light. I like it to be darker later at night, and I like it to be light in the morning because of the kids and the bus stops and traffic.
So
and stuff.
In Foxtopia, where everything's the way Melissa wants it, what would happen with the time?
It would go forward an hour and stay there.
Then that's year-round daylight saving time.
Then I guess I'm for that.
What? I'm confused. Anybody else? All right. Anyway,
well, no,
here's the problem with year-round daylight saving time. And I have in my hand the Orlando sunrise time chart here. Are you with me?
All right. I'm listening now.
If we have year-round daylight saving time from December 1st through the end of February, the sun rises after 8 o'clock in the morning. How can that be good? You've got tired, bleary-eyed commuters driving in the dark who are now driving in the light. And then you've got kids waiting at the school bus stop in the dark. How can that be a good thing? It's a safety issue. That's just the way it is. If you go to year-round daylight saving time and move the clocks ahead, you get 8 o'clock and later sunrises all December, all January, all February.
Okay, so then I'm not for this constant year-round light being where it is I'm going to this weekend. All right, so fair enough. I want it to stay where it is right now. Okay, so I am not for this change. I'm for the change of it staying constant, but where it is light in the morning and dark earlier in the evening.
So you want year-round standard time.
Correct.
Nobody's pushing for that except you. That's quite interesting.
Well, I'm in.
So here we go. Where are you? You got Rubio and Scott want year-round daylight saving time, and a lot of other folks too, apparently. We actually passed a law for this in 2018, so a lot of folks like the idea. Melissa wants to flip it and just leave it on standard time. I want it to stay the way it is because I think it gets us earlier sunrises through the winter when we need them for safety reasons. And that's why I am opposed to year-round daylight saving time. Where do you stand on this? You know, this is not a political issue. It's politics free. At least I think of it that way. What do you want? You happy with the way it is? I am. Or do you want to change? Like Rubio and Scott? Or like Melissa Fox? Or something else? Weigh in, 407-916-5400, text line 23680. Daylight saving time kicks in for the next 8 months this Sunday morning. Do you like it the way it is? Do you want to change? Let's talk about what you want. 407-916-5400, text line 23680. We roll on a Friday morning with an update now for you on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headlines, the White House says $1,400 COVID relief checks could hit some bank accounts this weekend. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, yesterday calling it the first wave, says payments will continue over the next several weeks. The checks are part of the massive coronavirus relief bill that President Biden signed into law on Thursday. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories all morning here on Good Morning Orlando.
Glenn Beck, weekdays 9 a.m. till noon on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
If you're about to file your taxes or you've already done it, you need to be with us for a special interview with Joel Garris, the CEO of Nelson Financial Planning, in the wake of the COVID relief bill being signed into law by President Biden. He'll be with us at 7:10. You may have to do your taxes all over again. Find out what it is all about and what's in this thing that every taxpayer needs to know, but I think a whole lot of folks have no clue about. Right now, we're talking about daylight saving time, which kicks in for 8 months beginning Sunday morning. We move the clocks ahead. So therefore, we get more light in the evening. Those long summer nights ahead. And some folks like it, some don't. Here's Susan in Castleberry. Where are you on daylight saving time? Do you want it year-round? Do you not?
I agree with Melissa. I think we should just stay on standard time, kind of like Arizona because of the fact that we're so hot here. I think I'd rather have the extra hour of daylight in the morning as opposed to in the evening. And Personally, it takes me sometimes, I feel like I never recover from losing that hour.
You know, a lot of folks say that they have a long-term effects from this. I've never noticed it other than I celebrate, wow, it's still light up after dinner. When I was a kid, I loved to go out and throw the ball around. I could do it. And to me, I've always had a great association with that change. But a lot of folks are messed up, and they're messed up for a long time. I'm sorry?
I said up in New York. I loved it when I grew up in New York, but down here, I don't like it at all.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Susan, very much. How do you feel about a move toward year-round daylight saving time? 407-916-5400. Or would you rather it always stayed on standard? Or, like me, are you just kind of happy the way it is with the change we make to avoid having super late sunrises in the morning? So, there we go. What do you think? Text line?
No, wait. Alan's here. Alan, how do you feel about it?
Personally, I'm with Bud. I'm fine the way it is. I have such a weird schedule, as we all do, working as early as we do in the morning, that it's hard for me to relate to a normal schedule and what effect daylight saving time or not having it has on the average person. Yeah. But I agree with Bud's point about earlier sunrises during the winter when, you know, kids are going to school. I think that's important.
Yeah, I'm so confused at what the weather does at this point. All I know is that it's an hour and I don't get it back and it takes me a while to recover.
You get it back in the fall.
Not really. No. You know, it takes a couple of weeks.
Doesn't work for you, huh? You get messed up. What's the text line there?
Marco Rubio won't stand up against the Democrats, but will act tough about daylight savings.
No, I thought this was a politics-free half hour. I guess not.
Never.
I'm with the Fox. Year-round standard time. Any parent who leaves their kids in the dark on a road should lose their kids.
Wow.
I'm with Melissa. I lived in Honduras for 4 years. The time never changed. It was so nice. Mark Rubio is a big baby. I'm for Eastern Standard Time year-round. Time should be constant year-round with max light in the a.m. for school safety.
You know, when I grew up and I was up in the New Jersey area as a kid, daylight saving time, it was different. I mean, it didn't begin until the end of April. I mean, and then they began it, you know, in early April. Now they've moved it way back, and it went right around to Halloween, as it still does. But Alan, I have such a positive association with that great feeling the first night the sun was still up after dinner and you can go out and play ball. And it's so positive a memory of mine. I've lost all objectivity about it, you know. Yeah,
I have similar memories, Bud, growing up, obviously not having to work and be at work early in the morning.
Sure.
Enjoyed seeing the sun still out at 8 and 8:30 and having a chance to play outside longer. When I was growing up in the Washington, D.C. area and then later here in the Orlando area.
Yeah. Yep. See, I grew up with grandparents in the summer who ate dinner at like 4 o'clock. So the sun was up after dinner. I have no dog.
Come on in, Melissa. It's the early bird
early
special
birds.
On Nantucket Island.
Exactly. The early bird special. Let's go to Captain Toby's.
6 o'clock. It's bedtime.
Okay. It was 6:30. Yeah. And I would have loved for it to have been darker out. So there you go.
Alan, we got a news update at 7 o'clock. Then you and I are going to talk about the tax ramifications of this COVID relief bill for taxpayers all over the place with Joel Garris. That'll be our big topic off the top when we start talking again after the news at 7:10.
Joe Biden delivers a primetime address, and a veteran golfer leads the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes, 6:58 on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Friday morning at 7. Glad you're with us for our show and our latest look now at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still at AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hettinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, the president says we're way ahead of schedule. More in 1 minute.
And in a moment, we're going to talk with a man who knows everything about the COVID relief bill, those stimulus checks, and what it means for your tax returns. Stay tuned. It's coming up as we talk with Joel Garris on Good Morning Orlando.
7:01 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. I'm sorry, make that 7:02. President Biden says the U.S. will shatter his goal of 100 million COVID vaccination shots in his first 100 days in office.
I can say we're not only going to meet that goal, we're going to beat that goal. Because we're actually on track to reach this goal of 100 million shots in arms on my 60th day in office. No other country in the world has done this.
Addressing the nation from the White House last night, Biden said he wants all adult Americans to be eligible for coronavirus vaccinations by May 1st. And he called for Americans to pull together in the effort to end the pandemic.
If we do this together, by July the 4th, there's a good chance you, your families and friends will be able to get together in your backyard or in your neighborhood and have a cookout or a barbecue and celebrate Independence Day.
Biden also repeated his pledge to open a majority of K-8 schools in his first 100 days in office. This news is brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. All adult Floridians might soon be eligible to get a COVID-19 vaccine. That word from Governor Ron DeSantis.
I do think once we get into April, it may be anyone that's eligible under the EUA, we may just be able to open it up. We're not there yet, but we may be able to do that.
Floridians from the ages of 60 to 64 will be able to get vaccines starting Monday. The plight of Florida's manatees is getting attention in Washington. Congresswoman Stephanie Murphy of Winter Park is asking federal officials to investigate why so many manatees are dying. This year alone, over 400 manatees have died in Florida, and if the pace continues, the number of deaths in 2021 will far surpass last year's total. Florida gas prices are still on the way up. The statewide average is $2.85, 15 cents higher than a week ago. AAA's Mark Jenkins telling Good Morning Orlando it comes down to supply and demand.
There's just less crude oil that's being produced on a global scale. So there's less crude oil to go around right now. And at the same time, you've got rising demand.
Which is typical in the spring when people get out more. Jenkins says it's possible gas could hit $3 a gallon in Florida for the first time since 2014. A veteran golfer is in the lead at the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra Beach. Sergio Garcia, firing a 7-under par 65 in the first round. Garcia says TPC Sawgrass is one of his favorite courses.
It just kind of fits my eye. I see what I want to do pretty much every hole. Then it's a matter of doing it. But it definitely feel more comfortable.
Brian Harmon is two shots back of Garcia. 21 golfers were still on the course when play was halted by darkness. WFLA News Time is 7:05. New York Knicks legend Patrick Ewing rants on being unrecognized at Madison Square Garden. Watch the video online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Alan, we remember Patrick Ewing for a while as an assistant coach for the Orlando Magic. And, of course, he starred for the Knicks and in his heyday was, you know, at 7 feet. He was a force in the middle, playing center for the Knicks. But that's a long time ago. Is he literally upset that folks didn't recognize him when he showed up at the Garden?
Apparently security gave him a hard time.
Oh, security game? Who is this big guy?
Yeah,
no 7 foot something or other guy's just going to walk around here without me knowing who he is.
It is totally recognizable, I have to admit then. Okay, I get it.
I've got to think there are huge posters of Patrick Ewing all over Madison Square Garden.
Hey, to be fair, it was my first
I guess
day.
I was wondering if he was mad because the fans weren't cheering for him when he walked in, but it's a security thing. No. Now I think I get it.
It was security.
You know, a lot of folks don't seem to get the tax ramifications for this new COVID relief bill signed into law by President Biden. And Joel Garris, the CEO of Nelson Financial Planning, is going to be talking about it with us here in just a moment. If you filed your taxes, you may have to file them again.
Oops.
What's in this thing? What do you need to know? Joel joins us live on the 50,000-watt front porch, and Alan and I will be talking with him in just a moment. You'll want to hear this, so stay tuned.
And I'm scared because I already filed my taxes,
oh,
bud.
No.
Whoops.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
We'll talk about it after an update of Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlines once again, the White House saying $1,400 COVID relief checks could hit some bank accounts this weekend. White House press secretary saying it's the first wave. Payments are going to continue over the next several weeks, all part of the massive coronavirus relief plan that the president signed into law yesterday. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeartRadio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Right now, we got him out of bed early to talk with us this morning, and he was more than willing to do it because Joel Garris, the CEO of Nelson Financial Planning and one of our longtime sponsors on this program, will host his own Sunday morning show at $9.00. Joel has been looking over the COVID relief plan, and he's been watching it as it's worked its way through Congress. Now it's been signed into law by President Biden. And Joel, welcome aboard. Alan and I are really glad you're with us here this morning because you let us know that there are some major tax ramifications from this legislation that is now the law of the land, right?
Indeed, that is. And good morning. Thanks for having me on the show this morning.
Warm up the vocal cords here, and let's talk a little bit about a few things, Joel. And let's begin with some of the recent changes and exactly who is eligible for how much in the way of stimulus money. A lot of folks may have missed that.
Sure. This round of stimulus checks, which is the third round that is coming to Americans as a result of COVID, has a much quicker cutoff for eligibility than the other two rounds. The first two rounds had a broader range of income where folks could still get some of these stimulus checks. But on this round, if you're a single person and your income goes above $80,000, you're going to get zero. If you are a married couple, if your income goes above $160,000, you're going to get zero, where previously you would have gotten like 80% of the prior stimulus check.
And I understand depending on when you file your tax returns, Joel, you could wind up losing your stimulus check, right?
That's exactly right. We've actually seen a couple of cases already where folks lost their stimulus check because the crazy thing about this, Alan, is that the government is saying if you get your hands on a stimulus check and then later on you didn't qualify for it, well, we're not going to take it back from you. So that's engaging in this sort of gamesmanship of, okay, well, which return do I let stand with the IRS today? Do I let my 2019 return stand, or do I quickly file my 2020 return?
Yeah. Well, and what if you have...
What do you advise?
Yeah.
So it depends. It depends on what your income was. So if your income in 2019 was lower, then you would let that one stand, particularly if you're around these cutoffs that start pretty hard at $75,000 as an individual return or $150,000 for a married filing joint return. So if you're close to those numbers and you know your 2019 return was below that, then you want to just let that 2019 stand and not file your 2020 return until the last possible day, which still is now April 15th, although there's some speculation with all these late changes that have happened that you'll find that they'll give another extension, much like they did last year. But that is speculation at this point. No one in the IRS has suggested that, although they've got a lot of work in front of them between these stimulus checks. And then there were actually some changes to the tax code for 2020.
Yeah, we're talking with Joel Garris from Nelson Financial Planning here on Good Morning Orlando. And there was some additional unemployment compensation, $300 a week in additional benefits included in the coronavirus stimulus package. What impact could that have on someone's tax returns?
Well, the fascinating thing there is that they actually changed the taxation of those benefits retroactively for 2020. So you've got tens of millions of Americans that have already filed their 2020 tax return. And now if you got unemployment and you make less than $150,000 as a married couple, you're going to need to go back and adjust that return, because in this latest bill, they said that if you collected up to your first $10,200 of unemployment compensation, that's now not taxable. So there's millions of returns that have been filed paying tax on unemployment, because that's the normal way in which you report your unemployment compensation. But now folks are going to have to adjust that because they've made that change retroactively. So that's pretty dramatic to see them do something like this, especially in the middle of tax season, when tens of millions of Americans have already filed a return based upon what the law used to be prior to yesterday.
And I know, Joel, you have some important news for our listeners here. For folks who have their health insurance coverage through Obamacare here, the Affordable Care Act, and they may wind up having to amend their taxes. What's the deal for them?
That is true. So one of the things about the Obamacare exchange is that the premium is calculated based upon an advance of a tax credit. So what happens is when you do your tax return, you actually sort of true up the numbers. Well, oftentimes if people have a little bit more income than what they thought they were going to have, they have to pay back some of that tax credit on their tax return. Well, what the folks said in Washington with this latest bill is we're not going to require anybody to repay any amount of that tax credit that they might otherwise have had to pay. So again, you got a bunch of folks that are going to have to amend their return in light of the premium tax credit and now not having to pay it on their 2020 return.
Yeah. One more question, Joel. We've been talking about possibly having to amend your tax return. For people who've never done that, what's involved?
Well, it's a whole nother form, that's for sure, and it's a process where you've got to do a 1040X and do a it's a process where you report, here's how much I reported on my original tax return, here's what the changes are, and then you have to also provide an explanation as to what the changes are.
Hmm.
Joel, can you stay through a brief break here and come back with us for a couple of final questions?
Sure, absolutely, be happy to, bud.
Back here in just a moment after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Headlines: one person dead in an accident involving a SunRail train in Kissimmee. Police say a 911 caller reported that a car driving west on East Vine Street was hit by the train at around 6:15 p.m. last night. No other details yet available. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories for you on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
7:24, we're talking right now with Joel Garris from Nelson Financial Planning and Investing. And Joel, we've got questions coming in on the text line. And here's one important one. What about the college students, 18, 19, 20-year-olds? Do they get a payment?
That is a great question. And actually, that is new for this third round of stimulus checks, that these stimulus checks do now include adult dependents like college kids, or if you've got an elderly relative that's also a dependent on your tax return. So, yes, they would now get those checks, but before they weren't.
Look at that, buddy. He's like a mind reader. He got to the second question about adult dependents before he even threw it out there.
Yeah, because it says, can you get a stimulus? I'm sorry, Joel, go ahead. I just wanted to pop out what else is on the text line. Can you get a stimulus check if you're an adult dependent, say 18, 19, 20?
Yeah, that's correct. So that's new for this third round of stimulus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That is pretty cool. And someone else also wants to know where they can find the rule for the unemployment tax for 2020.
So that is buried in the massive legislative bill. So it's 10,200, the first 10,200 of unemployment compensation. If you're under 150,000 as a married couple, that will now be tax-free. The reality is, and this is what's going to make this tax season very tricky going forward for all Americans, there are a lot of updates that need to be done in order to implement this. The vast majority of Americans use software to generate out their tax returns, and that's what the IRS prefers. They don't want the paper returns because they process things electronically, like most other organizations in today's world. So there's a lot of updates that need to happen on all of these software programs that people use to prepare their taxes that is going to take some time. So while there hasn't been any suggestion yet from the IRS that they may delay the tax filing deadline, I don't know how they can get stimulus checks out to everybody and process returns and make all of these changes that are on the 2020 tax return that's for Americans due in a month.
So you're suggesting they may ultimately move back April 15th as the tax deadline?
I think that has to be under consideration given the scope of these changes for most Americans. Yeah. And just the logistics thought of updating all of these software programs out there. So at least the folks that haven't yet filed yet are going to be able to file an accurate return without having to go back and make an amendment.
Now, I know Alan said he'd already filed his taxes. I file quarterly. How is that going to affect me?
So the quarterly that you're filing is going to be a tax deposit. So your final tax return, your 1040, sort of trues things up for the entire year. So that return is the one that's going to be adjusting all of these tax changes for 2020.
Before you go, Joel, you have a problem, obviously, with the timing of this legislation coming, you know, right during tax season. And so many people are getting whipsawed, you know, and going to have to amend, et cetera. But in general, what is your assessment of this spending of $1.9 trillion?
I think it's using a shotgun when you really needed a surgical knife. I think there's a lot of money in this package that is not necessary to stimulate the economy. And even the analysis on the prior bill that was passed a year ago, the CARES Act, which was the $2.3 trillion that was passed a year ago, the Congressional Budget Office concluded that for every dollar that added to the debt, it only brought 58 cents into the economy. So, Bud, I ask you, how'd you like to invest a dollar and get 58 cents return? Probably not a good idea.
Not working for the Bud Man.
Joel, I've got one last question. What if we have signed up for Obamacare? Does that make a difference in our stimulus checks and payments and taxes?
So it could, because if you got a premium tax credit and when you do your tax return and you lose some of that advanced premium tax credit, then you won't have to repay it, whereby in prior years you had to repay it.
We're now going to be hugging $30 trillion in debt in this country. What's that going to do to the future of the America we have known, and how in the world do we ever pay that down?
Well, that's a great question, and I think what's making them feel like they can spend as much as they're spending right now is because of the low interest rates, because they can still borrow money by issuing treasuries at historically low rates. And so that's giving them some flexibility to spend more than what they have in the past. But I think at some point we're going to have to look at tax rates, which are historically low rates now, and ultimately taxes are going to be going up.
I think you're right, but I'm not the expert. You are, and one of the very best. Joel Garris, Nelson Financial Planning. If you need to know more information, give him a call on all of this at 407-629-6477. Joel, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure to be here, bud. Have a great morning.
To you, Alan. The news coming up at the bottom of the hour.
A tragic crash in Orange County leaves 5 people dead. And the Magic try to end their losing streak at Miami. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes. 729 on Good Morning Orlando.
Good to have you with us here. Of course, news at the bottom of the hour with our co-host Alan Spector, and a terrible tragedy on the roads of Central Florida. What's the latest on this wreck?
Bud, 5 people are dead, most of them children, and 2 others are hurt after a crash in Orange County. Valerie Boy from our news partner Fox 35 was on scene last night.
Now, it was just after 8 p.m. when FHP says a Hyundai with 6 people inside was going westbound on Clarcona-Ocoee Road. As they tried making a left turn onto Gaymar, troopers say a Suburban collided into the side of the Hyundai, killing an adult and 4 kids.
FHP says the Hyundai, as Valerie mentioned, had 6 passengers, and several of them were ejected in the crash. Those killed include 3 children under the age of 10 and a teenager. One driver's in stable condition, the other in serious condition. There was a fatal accident involving a Sunrail train in Kissimmee last night. A 911 caller reported that a car driving west on East Vine Street was hit by the train around 6:15. Police confirm at least 1 person died. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings is asking the county attorney to explore their legal options. That after Governor Ron DeSantis issued an executive order waiving all fines against businesses and individuals for violating local COVID-19 safety ordinances. Demings says residents demanded the enforcement.
We received many calls from our residents demanding businesses and individuals be held accountable for failing to take appropriate precautions to stop the spread of a deadly virus.
Orange County has been fining businesses not complying with safety protocols since December. Statewide unemployment claims have dropped once again.
The number of Floridians filing first-time jobless claims has reached its lowest point since the pandemic started a year ago. The Labor Department says 16,000 people filed initial claims, down 3,000 from last week. That's just 10,000 more than March 6th of last year, when just 6,000 people filed claims. But then the pandemic started, and so did mass unemployment, with the system overwhelmed with hundreds of thousands of jobless claims within days. Chris Trankman, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
The Magic losing streak continues. Orlando losing at Miami last night, 111-103. Despite 24 points and 17 rebounds from Nikola Vucevic, the Magic are at San Antonio tonight. WFLA News Time, 735. Elsewhere. The NCAA is taking issue with the trademarked phrase vasectomy mayhem. Vasectomy mayhem.
Wait a minute. If I missed, somehow it may be trademarked, but I've never heard it until this very moment. What is this about?
Well, now you have. The College Sports Organization filed a trademark complaint last month against Virginia Urology, claiming the phrase vasectomy mayhem bears a close resemblance to its famous March Madness basketball tournament. See, the NCAA has rights not only for March Madness, but also names close to it, such as March Mayhem and Midnight Madness. Back in September, the Patent and Trademark Office okayed vasectomy mayhem, but the NCAA argues it will result in confusion, mistake, or deception.
They just got too many lawyers without enough to do or something there, Alan. I mean, is that even vasectomy is like, I mean, well, is that close to some word they use?
No, it's the mayhem part.
You hear vasectomy mayhem. Does that make you think of basketball right away?
Doesn't really make me feel good about anything.
Well, I might prefer to think about basketball when I hear the phrase vasectomy mayhem. This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away. Something fishy is coming to 7-Eleven. The convenience store chain is expanding its food selection to include fish bites.
No. The whole place is going to smell like fish.
7-Eleven fish bites. A spokesperson says they had success last year with an Alaskan pollock sandwich and wanted to roll out a new grab-and-go seafood option. The fish bites won't last long, though. They'll only be offered during Lent. And will be part of a Fish Fridays deal for app users.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. Tuna out of the can's fine for me.
I'm just going to wait them out for a couple of weeks and not have to worry about it.
You know, if I have a hankering for seafood, pretty much 7-Eleven is one of the last places I'm going to be heading to.
Right.
I'm sorry, nothing against 7-Eleven, but, you know, Red Lobster might be a little higher on the list.
Hey, Bud, let me clarify.
Bonefish Grill.
Wait for a couple of weeks. You probably could get one off of the roller, and it would. Just saying.
Oh yeah.
How you doing?
Oh boy.
Hey.
Right after those wraps are those ancient hot dogs that are twirling around there slowly.
Corn dog from 1972.
The lawyers from 7-Eleven are on the phone even as we speak.
Oh no.
Hello, Southland Company.
And finally. Time for the latest news from the world of Barbie.
Come on, Barbie, let's go party.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world. Life is plastic, it's fantastic. You can brush my hair, undress me everywhere. Imagination.
Stop.
Is your creation.
Stop.
Barbie's longtime companion Ken is getting a high fashion makeover for his birthday. The iconic Ken doll is now 60 years old.
What?
In celebration, Mattel has teamed up with an Italian designer to create three one-of-a-kind versions of the doll. They're all wearing miniature versions of Bertulli's new menswear collection. The Ken dolls will be auctioned in May to benefit the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Another 10 years, they'll be outfitted in Bermuda shorts and knee socks.
Oh, no. Well, no. They've got one, a man bun and all these other weird and colors of hair and skin tones. It's very...
Ken and a man bun?
Yeah. And the only thing I have to say is, Ken, man up and put a ring on it. Jeez.
Yeah, you know, and somehow, you know, I think of Ken when I hear the phrase vasectomy mayhem.
How?
I don't know why. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. And listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere.
Elsewhere.
With Alan Spector.
And more Elsewhere, I'm sure accompanied by more annoying music. 1 hour from now, right, Alan?
You're welcome.
You the man. In a moment, Rory O'Neill is here with your... daily coronavirus update, and then another best of Rush Morning update, all for you here on the Friday edition of our show. Much to come between now and 9 o'clock, and we are glad you're with us on the 50,000-watt front porch, where we roll on now with an update for you on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Headlines for you right now. The Players' Championship in the PGA off and running day one up in Ponte Vedra outside of Jacksonville. And Sergio Garcia is at -7 and has the lead. Round two beginning this morning. Updates at least every 10 minutes into top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, News Radio WFLA Orlando, and still on AM 540.
Coming up on 7:45, time for your daily coronavirus update brought to us by our good friend and News Radio WFLA national correspondent, Rory O'Neill. Good Friday morning to you, Rory.
Hey, good morning, Bud.
Hey, let's start with the president's primetime address, which was all about dealing with the coronavirus.
Yeah, for me, Bud, the big takeaway was saying that all adults should be eligible for vaccines by May 1st. That means all the restrictions wouldn't be just over 65 or just with a serious condition. He wants all adults to be eligible for the vaccine by May the 1st. Now, granted, we're not going to have enough vaccine probably until the end of May, but the eligibility should be there for everyone by the 1st of May.
It's a bold promise. If they can make that happen, it'll make an awful lot of people happy, no doubt about that. Let's focus on some good news, virus-related and pandemic-related and vaccine-related here locally from Governor DeSantis.
Yeah, he says more Walgreens stores will have the vaccine available. 97 now statewide in 19 counties. They are starting to take appointments today, and they'll be administering the vaccine as early as this weekend. That's, again, at Walgreens stores, so check their website to find the information to get an appointment.
And something big happening, vaccine-related, out at UCF.
Yeah, they're doing the program of their own just for UCF faculty, staff, and administrators. Now, they don't have enough for everybody, only about 2,300 doses, but it will take a big chunk out of the number that work there at UCF that can't get to one of these other locations. It is only open to the employees, not a public site, but that's 2,300 more people that could be vaccinated.
And there's polling out, Rory. Give us the highlight on this. It indicates that public opinion is changing about where we're headed in this pandemic.
Yeah, we are all seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. The CNN poll finding 77% now believe the worst of the outbreak is behind us. That's any point higher in the survey in the last year, even by 26 points. The pandemic is an important issue, but 30% say it's the most important issue. It was 46% who said it was the most important back in January.
It's good to look ahead, but I think it's also important to look back at where we have been over the last year, and we have lived through some history, and painful history it is.
Yeah, more than 3 million people across the country died last year, according to a report we're going to get on Monday from the CDC. That's a 15% increase in fatalities compared to the year before. That's just measuring deaths overall. More than 3 million people in the U.S. died last year, up again 15%. They believe that's all COVID-related.
And they're calling it, the CDC, actually the deadliest year in U.S. history for the number 10.
Yeah, and the largest increase since 1918, when there was World War I and that other pandemic.
Yeah, you bet. And, of course, World War I, we were all tied in with a pandemic, and Europe as well. Europe's really struggling to deal with a virus right now. What's going on over there?
Yeah, England is doing better than most other countries. Well, now the EU, now that they're out of the EU, but EU countries are still struggling to get the vaccine out. There's a lot of reluctance to get it, and there's a surge in cases. They're worried about a third wave now spreading across Europe. And word came out just this morning, Bud. I saw it a short time ago. They're going to lock down all of Italy again around Easter.
Wow, that is concerning. You're reporting for stations around the country on spring break that's now upon us. A lot of concern that there might be another super spreader event here. What about it?
Here, Bud, here's a data point I discovered just a few minutes ago. The TSA just released their numbers on the numbers of people who traveled yesterday. It's something they release every day. But get this, 1.284 million people flew yesterday. That's the highest number since New Year's weekend. And that was on a Thursday yesterday. So get ready. People are traveling. And there are concerns now that this could become another spreader event. So people are being urged to be careful, even if they are going out and traveling for spring break. It looks like we're already starting to see a big increase in travel.
Ready or not, here it comes. Rory O'Neill with the Daily Coronavirus Update. Thanks as always. You have a great weekend, my friend.
Thanks, bud. Take care.
Yep.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA, an iHeart radio station.
Good morning, Orlando. Glad you're with us on the 50,000-watt front porch on a Friday morning at 8 as we update once again Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, the president needs you. More in 1 minute.
Is Florida about to criminalize dissent or just crack down on rioters? We'll have the debate next on Good Morning Orlando.
8:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. President Biden wants all adult Americans to be eligible for coronavirus vaccinations by May 1st.
Let me be clear. That doesn't mean everyone's going to have that shot immediately, but it means you'll be able to get in line beginning May 1. Every adult will be eligible to get their shot.
Speaking to the nation from the White House last night, Biden stressed that his administration's vaccination plan is way ahead of schedule, the president insisting he needs Americans to do their part.
And that's not hyperbole. I need you. I need you to get vaccinated when it's your turn and when you can find an opportunity. And to help your family, your friends, your neighbors get vaccinated as well.
And Biden said he's hopeful that Americans can safely gather in small groups to celebrate the July 4th holiday. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. 1 year has passed since the start of the pandemic, but this is not the time to let your guard down. Lynette Johnson, chief nursing officer for Advent Health Central Florida, says they recommend you continue to follow CDC guidelines.
And so I would say that at this time, you want to continue to wear your masks. You want to continue to social distance and practice safe practices. Absolutely.
Officials warn that the coronavirus continues to evolve and mutate, and caution is advised even if you've been vaccinated. A Titusville man is facing charges for the Capitol Hill riot. 41-year-old Kenneth Harrelson was arrested this week for his alleged role in the violence that broke out on January 6th in Washington, D.C. He was in federal court yesterday to face charges that include conspiracy to defraud the United States and damage of government property. If convicted, Harrelson could get 30 years in prison. The rising price for a gallon of gas in Florida has reached an average of $2.85, up 15 cents from a week ago. Could we see $3 a gallon gas for the first time since 2014?
It's possible. I'm not waving the, you know, the red flag that we're going to get $3 a gallon. But, you know, if we see additional increases in crude oil, then that's certainly possible.
On Good Morning Orlando, AAA's Mark Jenkins told us the price surge at the pump is blamed on lower supply and increased demand. Sergio Garcia fired a 7-under 65 and is the first-round leader at the Players' Championship at TPC Sawgrass. Brian Harman is two strokes back. And a member of the reigning Super Bowl champs is facing a felony charge in California.
Jaden Mickens was arrested last week, according to new details out of Los Angeles. The return specialist for the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers pulled over on March 5th after cops say his window tint was too dark. During the stop, officers found a gun inside the car, not on his person, and arrested Mickens, booking him on a felony concealed weapons charge. The Buccaneers confirmed they were aware of the issue in a statement, noting that Mickens actually reached out to team officials after the situation to explain what had happened. Mickens joined the Bucs back in 2019. The NFL is now investigating this incident. Matt Napolitano, Fox News.
WFLA News Time, 8:05. Chuck Schumer calls accusations against Andrew Cuomo nauseating. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WFLA Orlando. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
News Radio WFLA Orlando is available everywhere with the iHeartRadio app. Now number one for podcasting. News Radio WFLA Orlando, an iHeartRadio station.
Alan, while you're doing the news, I happen to pop up Fox National here. And if they ever do a remake of the Wolfman movie, casting ought to definitely bring in Geraldo, along with Ted Cruz, of course.
Yeah, Jerry Rivers.
Look at him. Geraldo's got hair all over the place.
It's everywhere, man. He needs a haircut.
And that mustache?
Yeah, and the mustache is almost to his ears. I don't know what he's doing, but someone needs to tighten that up.
He's talking about running for the Senate, isn't he?
Ohio?
Mm-hmm.
He is, absolutely. Yep. He is talking about doing that. I don't know how that will play or not, but anyway.
I don't know. I'm looking for more sexy pictures on Twitter from him after a glass or two of wine.
Yeah, he's done that before.
Yep.
Look at me.
I thought I looked
good. Is it possible to have a sexy picture of Geraldo?
Apparently not.
Yeah, no. He thought it. Well, I thought I looked good. I don't know.
Anyway, great to have you with us here. Governor DeSantis has said that he has zero tolerance for violent protest. And he's backing that up in the legislature, dominated by Republicans. And they are taking a lot of heat from the left with legislation that DeSantis and the Republicans say is all about law and order. The left says you're just criminalizing dissent. Who's got it right? We'll have the conversation and the debate. And if you want to join the show, Well, that's what the 50,000-watt front porch is here for. Our phones are always open to you at 407-916-5400. You can hit that increasingly popular text line at 23680. Standard message and data rates apply there. And add your first name and town if you'd like to hear it on the radio. That's up to you. So that's where we begin. And later in the hour, more elsewhere with Alan, which is always fun, and a chance to win a great prize playing our Friday Sound Judgment game. Don't call yet, but it is coming up. Just a little bit of a heads up there.
Now 808 on Good Morning Orlando.
Headlines for you now. Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings not pleased with the executive order by Governor Ron DeSantis waiving all fines issued to businesses or individuals for violating local COVID-19 safety restrictions. Demings saying DeSantis loves to create confusion. The mayor contends there is nothing unprecedented about local governments trying to protect residents during a pandemic. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeartRadio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it as I bring you that headline there. I wonder how Mayor Demings would feel about this legislation being driven by Governor DeSantis and now about to hit the floor in the state legislature on the House side. It's called the Combating Public Disorder Act, and it follows in the wake of last summer's riots. And we had this problem in Central Florida, and we had it all across the country, of course, the wake of the George Floyd killing and the other things that were going on. And if you remember what was going on here in the Orlando area, we had the 408 blocked by protesters. They wound up throwing bricks and pieces of concrete at the cops, who just stood there and took it. And across the country, we had businesses burned, we had people hurt, and we had people killed. Governor DeSantis said right away, I'm sorry, I'm all about the First Amendment right to free expression and protest, but we're going to have a zero tolerance for violence when there are protests here. And so it is. This has resulted in this legislation. It's called the Combating Public Disorder Act. It's in the House. There is companion legislation being backed by the dominant Republican Party in the state Senate here. And I think this is definitely going to wind up being passed as legislation here. And I support what I see here, because to me, it is all about law and order. The critics from the left in the Democrat Party are screaming, you're criminalizing dissent. This is a First Amendment violation. And of course, then they play the race card because they think they can stop anything in its tracks when they play the race card. They say this targets minorities and it targets people based on color. No, it only targets, as I see it, it targets people based on behavior. This would enhance, if it becomes law, and I hope it will in Florida, it would enhance penalties for crimes committed during a violent protest. It would create felony charges for participating in a violent demonstration and for destroying memorials, monuments, statues commemorating historic people or events. It would not allow those arrested during riots to be released from jail before a court appearance. Those are some of the key elements here. And as far as I'm concerned, Melissa, this is all about law and order. This is not about criminalizing fundamental First Amendment freedoms of dissent. It's different, but the left doesn't see it that way. How do you see it?
You know, I do see it a couple of different ways, to be honest with you. I feel like this is already on the books, and they just needed to kind of crack down on it. Peaceful protests are one thing, but when there's violence or acts out or they're not listening to authority, those in, you know, positions of authority say, you know, let's move, or you don't have a permit or whatever, and then people act out. Sure, but those fines and things, they need to be enforced, and I kind of feel like DeSantis is flip-flopping a little there with regards to the mask mandate and stuff. So, I mean, he's tough on this.
I don't know where the mask mandate comes in here.
What is Demings mad at him about? Not just this, right?
No. Demings is mad because he wants to waive the he's going to waive the fines for COVID-19 violations. And I was posing the question coming out of the headline because I know you were doing nine things at once in the control room, which is where I get my live entertainment, as we discussed earlier, watching you. But at any rate, I wondered how Demings would feel about this legislation, which comes out of DeSantis saying in the wake of the riots last summer, we're going to have a zero tolerance for violent protests here. I wonder how Jerry would feel.
Right.
So I wasn't connecting the two.
And
I was just reacting to the headline.
I am connecting the two by saying that by DeSantis downgrading all these COVID violation fines and such. Yeah, it's like one thing he's saying, one thing, well, I'm going to be tough on protesters, but the protesters that were all out there screaming in the streets and didn't wear their masks and didn't follow protocol, that's okay. You see,
let's not try and link the two here. Just objectively, if this stands alone, do you find there's a problem with criminalizing criminal behavior and making sure that we have tough penalties, upgrading soft on crime measures to felony charges as a deterrent to violent protests?
Yeah, I think this is necessary. Again, I'm saying I think a lot of this is already on the books in one way or another, but if it needs to be more clearly defined, then yeah, I'm behind Governor DeSantis. I'm not a fan of Demings at all.
Well, they want to raise the ante here and say the penalties, you just need to know. If you're going to riot, if you're going to protest peacefully, fine. We're all over that. We get it. It's First Amendment. We love it. Okay? That's America. But if it's going to be violence and you think just because you're grieved over something that happened, whether it's has a racial component or not, and you somehow get a pass, you don't get a pass. We're going to crack down and we're going to crack down hard. And we are going to make the penalties more severe to deter this kind of behavior because it is all about law and order and about protecting the law-abiding citizens from the lawless element in society that does not get a pass, no matter how legitimate they think their violent protests are, no matter how outraged they may be for whatever reason, you are not going to break the law, and the laws are going to get tougher than ever on you. I don't think this is about criminalizing fundamental First Amendment rights of protest. This is about law and order and criminalizing what is criminal, and that is violence. Where do you stand on what they're doing in Tallahassee right now? Do you want to see this become the law in the state of Florida or not? 407-916-5400 is the phone number. Text lines 23680. First name and town if you'd like. Standard message and data rates apply. You know the drill. Let's talk. We're on the 50,000-watt front porch, and that's what it's all about here. We want to know what you think. In a moment, this tough on violent protest legislation taking shape in Tallahassee. I like what I see. How about you? You're next after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes here on the 50,000-watt front porch. Headlining a story right now that relates to our conversation about penalties for violent protest. A Titusville man facing charges for the U.S. Capitol riot. 41-year-old Kenneth Harrelson arrested this week for his alleged role in the violence that broke out in January in Washington, D.C. He was in federal court yesterday to face charges that include conspiracy to defraud the United States and damage of government property. And if convicted, Harrison could get 30 years in prison. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in the top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA Orlando, this is Good Morning Orlando with Bud Henninger, Alan Spector, and Melissa Fox.
Going to the phones in a second, but Alan, thoughts on this legislation hitting the House floor in Tallahassee, which is clearly what Governor DeSantis wants.
Yeah, I tend to agree with the point that Melissa initially made, that we've already got laws on the books. I mean, you can have a demonstration going on, but you still can't throw rocks at people or engage in other violent acts. And it seems like we've already got the laws on the books to take care of these things. Why do we need additional legislation?
I think they want to sharpen the teeth and make the penalties greater than they have been. Here is James in Kissimmee weighing in on this. And you've got a background in law enforcement, right, James?
Yes, sir.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. My concern would be that I would be less inclined to show up to a peaceful exercise of my First Amendment rights if it was possible that the actions of somebody in the group could cause my presence there to suddenly be cause for me to be charged with a felony.
Now, that's happened to folks in the Capitol as well who, you know, they were just kind of caught up in it somehow would be their defense, and you're suggesting that that could well occur here.
Yes, sir. Not...
It's always tough to sort out where the line is and who has crossed it.
Well, and it's also hard to sort out after the fact who really did what in a large group. From a law enforcement standpoint, and no disrespect to any of my brothers and sisters, but whatever they write down on the paper is what the DA is going to charge, even if they got it wrong at the time. So
that's an interesting take. I mean, that's pretty much standard procedure in the field. What the cop in the field says happened is what the DA goes with?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, James, very much. Here's Paul in Lake Mary. Good morning from Seminole County, Paul. Your thoughts on all of this?
Yes, good morning. I have a problem with the First Amendment and any amendment. It is you have a right to do these things so long as they do not infringe on anybody else's rights. Blocking roads, burning businesses, looting. How does that work? And these laws, these amendments are colorblind. I think this is a good thing he's doing. And the problem with what your last caller said, and I respect that he's was a police officer, there's video now. So as far as just what the cop says is not what we see anymore. And if you're going to do a peaceful protest, I used to be in a National Guard unit. We did riot control and all that. You're trained what to do. That's peaceful. If it is not peaceful, then I think that the hammer should come down. Because what about the people who are losing their rights and property because of a few?
Totally agree with you. Thank you, Paul, very much. The texters are weighing in big time. What do you see, Melissa?
Seems like the Dems stand with the lawbreakers every time. Carmen says, yes, make it a law. Danny checks in from Orlando saying, hopefully this peaceful protest will not include closing I-4 for hours. That was criminal.
Violence, yeah, it was actually at 408, Alan, as I remember, that was completely blocked. There was an entrance ramp to I-4 that was also blocked. But in both cases, they were throwing chunks of concrete at cops.
Someone wants to correct me when I did mention about the COVID violations being relaxed by DeSantis. I was talking more about the masks, not the businesses. But someone said, please, Melissa, they're not related. One is about law and order. The other is helping out suffering businesses. I thought I clarified that by saying protesters who weren't wearing masks, but whatever.
We're going to follow the legislation in Tallahassee, gang. We promise you that. But we wanted to get out front on it here this morning. Great conversation. Alan, news coming.
An Orange County crash leaves 5 people dead, and the Magic visit Miami. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together, and elsewhere in just 2 minutes. It's 8:29 on Good Morning Orlando.
To the news right now with my co-host Alan Spector. There are car wrecks, and there are car wrecks, and then there is what happened in Orange County last night.
Truly tragic, Bud. 5 people, including 3 children under the age of 10, are dead. 2 others are hurt after a crash in Orange County. It happened last night near Clarcona Ocoee Road and Gaymar Drive when a Hyundai turned left into the path of another car.
Inside the Hyundai, we had 3 children pronounced deceased on scene, an adult and a teenager. Both drivers survived. Both drivers are at the hospital. We have troopers over there talking to them now.
Florida Highway Patrol Lieutenant Kim Montez says the Hyundai had 6 passengers total and several of them were ejected in the crash. One person is dead in an accident involving a Sunrail train in Kissimmee. Police say a 911 caller reported that a car driving west on East Vine Street was hit by the train around 6:15 last night. No other details were immediately released. This news brought to you by Trustco Bank, Florida's hometown bank. Alcohol and speed are suspected in the crash that killed a Tampa police officer. Police Chief Brian Dugan said yesterday that the wrong-way driver who collided with Officer Jesse Madsen this week on I-275 was going over 100 miles an hour. He says it also looks like the 25-year-old was drunk, but a full toxicology report on the driver, who also died, has yet to be released. Orange County's mayor is not pleased with the executive order by Governor Ron DeSantis, the one that waives all fines issued to businesses or individuals for violating local COVID-19 safety restrictions.
I believe Governor DeSantis loves to create confusion. There is nothing unprecedented about local governments trying to provide for and protect its residents during a pandemic.
Mayor Jerry Demings claims he's been decisive and taken action when the governor was slow to act. He's asking the county attorney to explore legal options. The beginning of daylight saving time means it's time to set your clocks ahead 1 hour this weekend. The new time takes effect at 2 o'clock Eastern Sunday morning. Jimmy Butler scored 27 points and doled out 11 assists in the Heat's 111-103 win over the Magic in Miami last night. Nikola Vucevic netted 24 points and grabbed 17 rebounds for Orlando, which has lost six in a row. Coach Steve Clifford says turnovers continue to plague the Magic.
We played hard, played a lot better in the second half than we did the first half. They're obviously very good. We had a chance to win the game. You can't turn the ball over, especially against a good team on the road. That's it.
The Magic play at San Antonio tonight. WFLA News Time is 8:36. Elsewhere. Well, looks like these guys are not getting back together. Pink Floyd's David Gilmour told Guitar Player magazine, "The Hall of Fame band has run its course and they are done." He said he has no problem with the band's co-founder, Roger Waters, doing whatever he wants to do and hopes he enjoys himself. Gilmour and the bassist have had their differences in the past. Drummer Nick Mason has said he's open to a Pink Floyd reunion, but he added Gilmour and Waters are happier when they don't have to deal with one another.
It's too bad because I really dug them, but...
Oh, yeah.
I love Pink Floyd. They're wonderful. I'd love to see them get back together. Alan, that would be a guaranteed winner if they did, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. You know, and for me, I would put them in my top five bands, which I would list as Beatles, Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and, of course, the Archies. So...
Well, studio musicians.
There you go.
By the way, I understand that Roger Waters says when... Pink pigs fly. He'll get back together with Floyd.
Well, we've seen that happen, though. At least with Pink Floyd concerts. A private island in the Bahamas is going up for auction. It's called Little Ragged Island, also known as St. Andrews. It's described as having 730 acres of rolling, forested hills and pristine white beaches, along with freshwater ponds and enough space to build a golf course resort. But it's isolated, with the closest island 10 minutes away by boat. The asking price? $19 million.
Whoa.
Bidding begins March 26th, Bud.
That was part of my plan way back in the day, but... Mm-hmm.
A little pricey for the Bud Man, but yeah. Sounds lovely.
You guys want to get together on it, maybe?
No. A little pricey Whatever. For both of us, yeah. I think.
We could sell the boss on doing some remotes from out there. Absolutely.
There
that would
go.
Definitely be a remote, too, wouldn't it, Alan?
It would.
From Ragged Island.
And and finally, are you ready for the latest version of Oreos? Oreo is releasing new NBA Dynasty cookies. NBA Dynasty cookies are embossed with six basketball team logos: the Boston Celtics, Chicago Bulls, Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Lakers, Miami Heat, and San Antonio Spurs. And no, there are no Orlando Magic Oreos. I believe the key word here is dynasty.
Yeah.
We're a little short in that area.
We're not quite to dynasty status yet. The Oreos.
We could have kept Shaq. We would have had that one covered.
Or Dwight Howard number of people who used to be here. The new Oreos tip off later this month. A Taste Greatness Sweepstakes will also launch on March 29th with a trip to the 2022 NBA All-Star Game as the grand prize.
Alan, I think they're in onto something here with this idea of logos for teams and Boston cookies. That's a winner.
I like it. I like it. I'd like to see it spread to other sports.
I'd like to see it spread to other cookies.
Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com and listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector.
Coming up in a moment, Sound Judgment. If you want to play the game for a nice prize, you got to get on the phone right now before everybody grabs your open line. 407-916-5400. 407-916-5400. We're playing Sound Judgment on a Friday. Go into the weekend as a winner. 407-916-5400. Let's play. And we will right after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines, Sergio Garcia fired a 7-under par 65, is now the first-round leader up outside Jacksonville at the Players' Championship at TBC Sawgrass. Brian Harman, two strokes back. Defending champ Rory McIlroy opened with a 79. Looks like he's going to miss the cut. Darkness suspended round one play. 21 golfers were still on the course. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories for you on Good Morning Orlando.
Welcome to the 50,000-watt front porch.
We are ready to go with the daily playing of the Sound Judgment game. As always, a really nice prize on the line. More on that coming up. If you're trying to get in, all the lines are busy. We understand the frustration, but there's opportunity. If somebody blows it and gets a wrong answer, we close that line out. We open it for you at 407-916-5400, but you got to be quick. Oh, boy, I tell you what, the pollen allergies are doing the bud man in. Hopefully we got just enough voice left to get through the rest of the show. Let's give it a shot. For today's Sound Judgment game, we're going to put the spotlight on a great Florida tradition, spring break, which is upon us once again. Now, lots of Florida cities are associated with spring break and have been at various times through the years, but when they made a movie about spring break some years ago called Spring Break, it was shot on location where the first spring breaks were held. Listen to a little sound from that film and then use your sound judgment to name the Florida city credited with being the original home of Spring Break.
Columbia Pictures presents Spring Break.
250,000 kids here for the sole purpose of partying.
Nelson Dalby and Adam Stern are about to get the break of their lives. Spring Break.
Shot on location. You gotta love the old movie trailers, right,
Boy,
Alan?
There's a classic movie, huh?
Shot on location at the town that is credited with being the original home of Spring Break. What town are we talking about? Let's go to the phones on Sound Judgment and start with Pete. Go ahead, Pete.
Okay, I'm going to guess Daytona Beach.
No, but that's not a bad guess. There's your open line, gang. Thanks for trying, Pete. Grab that line at 407-916-5400. It's not Daytona Beach, Robert. What town are we talking about?
Let's try St. Pete Beach.
Nope, not St. Pete. 407-916-5400. A little too rowdy for the old folks in St. Pete, I think, Alan. Yeah, you know, they're probably not going to be.
Keep it down, you kids. And get off of my lawn.
It's the beach.
So it's not St. Pete, and it's not Daytona Beach. The original home of Spring Break is what Florida city? Scott, you're up. Go ahead. Take a shot.
Siesta Key.
Not Siesta Key. Nope. Another open line, guys. Play for the prize. Get on. 407-916-5400. Show these folks you know what you're talking about.
The
Here's Jeff. You're next on, Sound Judgment.
Fort Lauderdale.
That's it. Game over. Oh, yep, no absolutely. Fans are going wild. And that dates all the way back, believe it or not, all the way back into the late 1930s, which is interesting. But it really hit its heyday around 1960 or so. Jeff, here is what you've won.
Wow, I didn't even push that button. Sorry. I swear to God.
Who was that? Just who was that? Just somebody over there in the corner clapping? What was
some
that?
Some random construction. Yay.
Spontaneous applause.
I have no idea. Yeah, really, just busted right out, didn't it?
Tell this man what he's won.
You have won tickets to go to the Windermere Wine Fest at the Grove Shopping Center. It's going to be a really good time. You get yourself a commemorative couple of cups. You walk around. There's like 50 different wines to choose from, and you get to sample a whole bunch of them. It's going to be a really good time. It's next Saturday, 1 to 5, Windermere Wine Fest. Congratulations.
In a moment, we're going to peel back the curtain on the Fox here, who has two jobs this morning, Alan. Mm-hmm. She's running the board and executive producing this show with a million moving parts, Good Morning Orlando, and doing it flawlessly. Yeah. She's also on a quest to try to get an appointment for a coronavirus vaccine. And she's doing them both at the same time. One is working better than the other, apparently. Hmm. We are going to have an update on the quest from Melissa in a moment after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Yep, headlines right now for the final time. And hey, let's talk about daylight saving time. It kicks in this weekend, and we talked about the controversy earlier about whether it ought to be year-round. We got to move our clocks ahead 1 hour before retiring on Saturday night. And don't forget to set all your clocks ahead 1 hour before you go to bed tomorrow night. You just might be late to work on Monday morning or church on Sunday. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Stay ahead of the storm with Operation Stormwatch on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
So Alan and I have gotten both of our shots for the coronavirus. The Fox is suddenly on a quest to do the same. How goes it?
Well, you know, it stinks. You don't have to be of an age requirement to get on the initial Publix.com COVID vaccine website thing, okay? So I'm just waiting to get a book now thing that pops up, and the page automatically refreshes every 60 seconds. Don't refresh it yourself. So I've been here now for 92 minutes. Mm-hmm. So far, I have not gotten in, and there's still a lot of appointments available around the state because it lists, I don't know, how many are still available in each county. So far, Seminole's now at half. They're about 50%.
What do you think is going on there?
And Orange County's about 50%. I think there's a lot of people on the websites trying to get in, and they, as they say, when there's room, if it becomes available, then a button will pop up, and you have a couple of minutes in order to react, and hoy.
And you remember, Alan, when my wife and I were trying to get our shots initially, and we were frustrated, our daughter stepped in and said, "You need to sit there and hit the refresh button continuously." And now, Melissa, you're saying don't do it. Let it automatically do it for you every minute. Maybe you need to just be sitting on that button.
Hold on. No. Clearly, this is a different website than the initial ones that we put out, okay? Yeah. This is now through Publix, because Publix is taking over the entire world, Florida, and one state at a time. But anyway, yeah, so a lot of the appointments are made through Publix, but you can't call the pharmacy. You can't walk in. You have to go to a website. And regardless of what you're trying to book for, which vaccine it is, you have to sit here and wait. And it clearly says, please hold on. And in big, bold thing, do not refresh the page yourself. And it has a countdown. Every 60 seconds, it's like on 51, 50. And then it'll refresh, and I'm still sitting. It's been since
Alan, how
seven.
About we try to make Melissa feel a little bit better and listen to President Biden last night, who was making some bold promises about when she and everybody else is going to be able to get a vaccine.
Here we go.
Tonight, I'm announcing that I will direct all states, tribes, and territories to make all adults, people 18 and over, eligible to be vaccinated no later than May 1. Secondly, at the time when every adult is eligible in May, we will launch, with our partners, new tools to make it easier for you to find the vaccine and where to get the shot. We can accelerate massive nationwide effort to reopen our schools safely. Fourth, in the coming weeks, we will issue further guidance on what you can and cannot do once fully vaccinated.
One of the things he went on to say in that speech last night, from the middle of that sound cut, Melissa,
yeah,
was that they're going to come out with a federal website.
Ooh, that's great. How much did the Obamacare one cost?
Why are you beating your head against the wall here? Why don't you just hang in and see if something else breaks? Publix, I don't know what the deal is there.
Because, listen, I'm not a Luddite. Like, a lot of people are not all up with this newfangled technology, yourself included sometimes. I mean, you've got a good grasp, but there are a lot of folks out there who are frustrated. They're older, they don't have the time, they don't have the internet on their phone, whatever the case may be. Creating another website so that everyone can get vaccinated it's like, I don't know, spitting in the wind and then wondering why it came back in your face.
All right, we should let you get back to it. Let
Thanks.
Me ask you about your quest, Alan, to get to spring training baseball. No luck?
No luck so far. As I mentioned earlier, when spring training tickets went on sale, I got an email from the New York Yankees. I'm on their mailing list, obviously, their email list, and I usually go to at least a couple of games over in Tampa during the spring to see the Yankees. And as soon as I went on the site, when I got that email, everything was sold out. It was like when I went to get the COVID-19 appointments. Same thing. Everything was sold out. And it turns out the Yankees are limiting capacity over there at George M. Steinbrenner Field to 25%. And the Yankee games in spring training are sold out even when there's 100% capacity.
Oh,
so the only way you can get tickets is to buy them secondhand from people who are reselling them, and they're reselling them for at least $100 a pop.
What generally do spring training tickets go for now? And have they been increased because there's so much demand and limited seating, they're trying to make a buck, or what's going on?
Well, they're not cheap. I usually pay $40 to $50 for a decent seat over there in Tampa.
Oh, it's got to be much more than that.
But $100, I'm not.
That doesn't make me comfortable either. And how many are, 25% capacity?
It's about 2,500.
Alan, you really got to love baseball to pay $40 or $50 for a game that doesn't count.
Well,
I can't even imagine doing that.
I'm incredibly wealthy, Bud, so money is no object.
It's not about that.
First game I ever watched at Yankee Stadium, my dad took me to see Manolin Maris and Whitey Ford, and it was a box seat for $3.50. Reserves were $2.50.
Now I feel young.
Bleachers were $1. My God, it was a long time ago. Hey, that's it for 3 hours on the 50,000-watt front porch. For Alan and Melissa, the Bud Man, thank you. Have a great weekend. God bless you, and God bless America.